I ride. You know, I'm sure almost everybody here has read the Torah portion, right? Most of you have read the Haftorah portion. And in the Torah portion and the Haftorah portion this week, excuse me, we're given instructions for the Kohens. We're told about how each of the Kohens are to act and how they're to dress. So let's jump right in from the start. We've got a scripture from the portion. So I'm going to start with talking about the Kohens from Leviticus. Leviticus 21:1. Boom, God says. Boom, chicka, boom. That was close. All right, we're gonna come back in. Leviticus 21:1-4 tells us a bit about the Kohens. It says this: Then Adonai said to Moses, "Speak to the Kohenim, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, 'A Kohen is not to allow himself to become unclean for the dead among his people, except for his relatives that are nearest to him, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, his brother, and his virgin sister, who is near to him, who had no husband. For her he may allow himself to become unclean, but he is not to defile himself, a husband among his people, so profane himself.'" So we get specific instructions in the portion about the Kohen's actions. Not all of them, but we get a good number of instructions for the Kohen's, how they to act in order to stay in the service of Adonai. In the Haftorah portion, we're told a bit about the way the priests of Adonai are to dress. So Ezekiel 44:16. "They are ones who will enter my sanctuary and draw near to my table to minister to me. They will keep my charge. It will be that when they enter in the gates of the inner court, they will be clothed with linen garments. No wool will come on them while they minister to the gates of the inner court and within. They will have linen turbans upon their heads and linen underclothes upon their loins. They will not wear anything that causes sweat." This is important for them. It's important for us too to get today, to indicate that they were selected to act for Adonai. That means that the way that they dress and the way that they act would make them set apart from the rest of the people. That set apartness we call holy. Being holy can be defined as being set apart, and within these verses, we see that the Kohen were set apart. They were to be different from other people of Israel, and definitely different from the people of the land they were going into. Excuse me again. Between the priests being different and the people acting different than the people of the land, they were to prove that Adonai was not the same as the false gods and the idols of the land. He's the God who created, and he's the God who saves his creation. There are times that we look at people and can say, just by looking at them, we see the way they act and the way they do something. And we can say, yeah, that looks like it's aligned with Adonai. There are also times that we look at people and we wonder, where are they in their faith walk? We can only look at what they do and how they do it, because there's no way to know a man's heart or the why he's doing what they're doing. Even if you ask them, you may not know, because man doesn't even know his own heart. So we can look and We can disagree with what someone's doing, but it doesn't mean he's doing something with the wrong attitude. We don't know. And we can look at someone who, and we agree with what they're doing. But again, that doesn't mean that we can discern the why they're doing what they're doing. If we're to judge others, then we would need to know the why they're doing something. But we can't. We can't know the why because we can't know their heart. Both the Torah portion and the Haftorah portion are about the way the priests are to act and look when others see them. For us, we're to learn the same lessons for ourselves from these verses. I'm sorry, I can't keep my throat clear. We should know that it's how we act and do things that reflect Adonai towards others, that they can see who Adonai is when they view us by the way we act and the way we do things. But it's really not just the way we do things. It's not what we do. It's not the way we live, really. But it's the reason that we're doing things, or the actions we do in front of others and in front of Adonai. He knows our heart. He knows the why we're doing things. He can see the way that we're actually doing them and the why we're doing it. He can judge us. We can't judge. This means for us, if we're trying to look good, but we're doing the reason that we're trying to look good is just to look good for other people, then the good look is really for nothing. The action of looking good is only worthwhile while the good look is, let me say this again, because I like the way I wrote this. The actions of looking good are only worthwhile when the good look is not to let others see the good look of Adonai. I've said it wrong again. The actions of looking good are only worthwhile I'm going to get through this because I like this. The actions of looking good are only worthwhile when the good look is to let others see the good look of Adonai, and not the good actions of ourselves. Wasn't that worth waiting for? It's really just another way. Sometimes it sounds funnier, although not the way I say it. Of saying it's the heart attitude that matters to Adonai. And since the heart attitude matters to Adonai, it must be to us as well. I'm not talking about our own heart attitudes, because we can't see heart attitude of others, at least we can't see, at least not in the way that Adonai does. So we can judge our own heart attitude, although we give ourselves a little grace because we can't always see our own heart attitude. But when it comes to judging others, we can't see their heart attitude. So we can't really judge that, but we give them grace too. Now this means that for each of us, the way that we hear, even right here in the sanctuary, during praise and worship and throughout the whole service, should be an indication of who we are, not to those who are looking at us, but to the one who sees and knows all. I personally would rather see a person who's struggling struggle than a person who appears to have it all in or all together when they're really just acting out a charade. And let me just say, I'm not saying that I want to be a whiner or a congregation of whiners, but I want to be a congregation of real people. Real with each other and real with Adonai. Just as I want to be real with you, I want to be real with Adonai. With all that said, let me get to the real message. I mean, you'd think that was the message, but as the title is, Public Acts of Faith, why do we do acts of faith? Or why should we do acts of faith for others? Of course, I've touched on it a bit already. The reason is not to reflect who we want to be seen as, but who Adonai is to be seen as. Yeshua said this during his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so they may see the good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is a call not to do acts or deeds so that you look good to those who are watching, but to look good to Him who watches from heaven. Whatever you do, do it for His glory. Let your light shine really means that all those physical actions you take, that's your light shining. But your light is not only in physical ways that you do things. The external ways that you do, the physical ways that you do, should be to reflect the glory of Adonai. It shouldn't be with shortcuts that others would think are wrong, but done so that others would see the good works and know that they're reflecting Adonai. The internal ways that we do things, meaning the attitudes and the reasons for doing them, should also be a shining light to Adonai. Even if no one else can see or hear your grumbling or know the wrong reasons that you're doing something, what you're doing will bring no glory to Adonai. I can pick any one of the tasks and have to go on here at the synagogue in order to get the Shabbat service going, in order to hold the whole congregation together. And then each one of them would be an example. From the seemingly smallest thing that has to happen here at the congregation, the worst job, whatever it may be, and everyone's worst job is something different, to the most visible, for what you would think would be the most enjoyable tasks. If done with the right attitude, then it will bring glory to Him. But with the wrong attitude, it will bring no glory to Him. From the cleaning of the toilet, to the singing on the, to the soundboard, to the Torah drash, even right here to the message that I give. If it's done with an attitude of doing it for Adonai, then there's glory in it for Him. If it's done begrudgingly, if you do it with any kind of comment that starts with, I really wish that I didn't have to fill in the blank. And it's not even just the job. I really wish I didn't have to sing it this way. Blah, 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 blah. I really wish I didn't have to give the drash this way. I really wish I didn't have to clean the toilets this way. It goes to everything that we do. And what we do might bring some kind of fruit. You know, other people and myself will still thank you for doing it. We'll still get some, you know, enjoyment or blessing out of it. But Adonai sees it and He knows the heart attitude that's behind it. That's not something that I judge. I don't judge hard attitudes. He does, though. And we're not called to act right just when around other believers, believe it or not. But also when the lost of the world are around us. Spelled out in 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2:11 says this, "Loved ones, I urge you as strangers and sojourners to keep away from the fleshly cravings that war against the soul. Keep your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Then while they speak against you as evildoers, they may, from noticing your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, the word there is Gentiles. It actually means Gentiles who are not aligned with Adonai, or in other words, the NIV, I believe it was, uses the word pagan. Now, many believe that Peter's writing to Jewish believers, and many believe that he's writing to all who accepted Yeshua, both Jew and Gentile. But either way, he's saying, if you have already accepted Messiah Yeshua, act in a way before those who have not that will cause them to give glory to Adonai when he visits them by the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, this could mean that at the end of times, when the twinkling of an eye, we're all caught up. It could mean that. Or it could mean that when the Ruach comes upon them for their salvation, that they would think, oh, the believer before did this. I see it now. Why? As opposed to, oh, that believer treated me rottenly. I have that stony heart. I'm not going to accept even when the Ruach comes upon me. That's why we do it even among the lost, especially among the lost, so that their hearts won't be stony because of us. If they're going to have a stony heart, let it be upon them and let it be upon the world. It should never be because of something we've done. Peter encourages you to act in a way that the unbeliever will remember the way you acted towards him. It's going to be that planting of the seed, maybe for the first time. It could be the watering of the seed, second, third, 12th, 17th time, depending on where they are. And when the Ruach moves upon that person to save them, to soften their heart. Now, it could sound, when taken out of context, like it's the deed that counts, the action that counts. We also have to remember what Yeshua says in Matthew 6 as part of the Sermon on the Mount. 6:1, starting there. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you do tzedakah, good works, do not sound the trumpet before them, as you hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, so you may be glorified by men. Amen, I tell you, they have the reward in full. But when you do tzedakah, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your tzedakah may be seen in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you. When you pray, do not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Amen, I tell you, they have their reward in full. This is not a call not to do good works, not to do good things in front of others, but it's a reminder of the importance of the righteousness of the heart, where men can't see. But Adonai can see it. When we combine these verses with the words of Yeshua in Matthew 23, there's a message that just can't be ignored. There Yeshua speaks to the teachers of the law and to the Pharisees about the way that they're being seen and what they're doing in order to be seen and why they're doing it. I want to start at Matthew 23:5, and then I'm going to skip down after a couple of verses to 27 and 28. Matthew 23:5. All their works they do to be noticed by men. They make their tefillin wide and their tzitzit long. They love the place of honor at feasts, the best seats in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called rabbi by men. Woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, you appear righteous to men on the outside, but are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. A little off. God completely understands people's inner objectives and hidden agendas. The Torah scholars and Pharisees were looking good to the people, and maybe they were doing good. Maybe they weren't breaking Torah at all. Maybe they were just doing, though, with the wrong attitude. They were doing things to be noticed by men, when the positions that they had should have been to bring Adonai Yeshua to be seen and followed. The goal that we should have is what they should have been doing instead, to show the glory of Adonai and to point to the coming of Messiah. They were to point to the coming of Yeshua based on his fulfilling the prophecies, and we're to point to the coming again of Yeshua to those who do not have relationship with him yet. Yeshua says to us today that we are to have public acts of faith that will show him in the world today. How do we do this? Yeshua tells us to love others as he loves them. This is how we are to show the world our faith. Faith is and always will be a personal, private relationship with him. And at the same time, public acts of faith. In this kind of thing that can be judged by the kind of fruit we display and the quality of our fruit, which is why Yeshua says in John 13 this, John 13:34, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So also you must love one another. By this you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Was Yeshua making a new commandment, as it says? It wasn't new to him, but it was an expansion of the understanding of the commandment that the followers would have already known. They may have known to love each other, but to love those that Adonai created, even the unbelievers, was a new understanding of an old mitzvah. And they will need to remember this when they read Matthew 5. Regarding the love that Adonai wants us to have towards others, our public acts of faith. Matthew 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even the tax collectors do the same, don't they? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than anyone else? Even the pagans do that, don't they? Therefore be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Does Adonai want us to love even the unbelievers? He's told us to love our brothers. We may think at times that our brothers are only those fellow believers, but I know that with that layering of his words and principles, that brother is not just a brother in Messiah, but it's brothers in creation. We're all his creation. Then we're also to show love in our acts of faith towards everyone. these are the acts that will show the glory of God to them and to help soften their hearts to the good news. The final words of the passage is to be perfect. We should not expect perfection in ourselves, but strive for it, and others will see Messiah in that. The perfect we should be, and the perfect we should expect from ourselves, is that it is in our effort to walk faithfully with Him. And even that will require some measure of grace and mercy. The fact that we have complete spiritual faith is not enough. We also have to put our spiritual faith into action in our lives. Now, the person who jumps out of a perfectly good airplane with a parachute, well, I don't understand it, but there are those people who do. The person who jumps out of a perfectly good plane with a parachute, he jumps out saying, I have faith in this parachute. And as he's falling, he keeps repeating, I have faith in this parachute that's going to save me. But it's not until he acts on that faith. He pulls the cord and the parachute opens. And maybe on the parachute, he has the message. Maybe it's John 3:16 or whatever. He's showing his faith while being saved. That's what we need to do as well. We need to show our faith in action, pull the cord so that others will see the faith. James wants us to know this as well. James 2:14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can such faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in shalom, keep warm and well fed, but you do not give them what the body needs, what good is that? So also faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. We are to do public acts of faith, not just for the good of those we're doing good towards, but for ourselves as well. They don't have to be great acts of public faith that'll feed thousands. They can be small things that'll reflect the glory of Adonai. Ignatius Loyola said, in God's eyes, our words have only the value of our actions. And I think Yoda said, faith or no faith, there is no small act of faith. I'm pretty sure he said that. Faith is more about it's more than just the feeling. It's about living it. And living it out so others see it. We live our faith through obedience to God and acts of service. Let's close with 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I own, and if I hand over my body so I might boast, but have not love, I gain nothing. The love that Shaul wants for us to have, that Adonai wants from us, is the public acts of faith. We show our love with public acts of faith. Therefore, maybe we should read it this way. I want to go backwards. There we go. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not done any public acts of faith, I have become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mystery and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not acted with any public acts of faith, I am nothing. If I give away all that I own, and if I hand over my body so I might boast, but have not done any public acts of faith, I gain nothing. And this is true with your jobs, with your family, with any obligation that you have. He wants you to do it for him first, so then also for others in your lives. Do, but don't do it to be seen by others, but do it so that you'll be seen by Adonai. And that way, others will glorify him along with you. Father, we thank you that you have given us abilities. You've given us tongues to speak your words. You've given us some knowledge of prophecies and the mysteries and the words that you have in Scripture. You've given us power in our prayers. And to give to others through our tithes and offerings and charities. But most of all, you've given us public acts of faith to show them to the world so that they may see your glory. Let it not be so that others would see us doing, but let when they see us doing, they don't see the us, they see the you. The you that is in it, the you that is going, that is to be glorified, the you that will bring the world to salvation. We can't do that. Only you can do that. So Ruach, put in our minds and our spirits the things that we should be doing for you. Give our hands and feet the power to move for you. Give us opportunities before the world to do for you so that they will see your glory and get to know that it is Messiah Yeshua and the blood he spilled and the death that he gave himself over to is the way of salvation for all the world. Father, we thank you for these opportunities that you've given us to act out our faith. And everyone said, amen and amen.